531.
Father's Funeral is part of Aotearoa's first Pacifica Violence Prevention Program, Atu Mai. Father's Funeral was created to engage more Pacifica fathers in both their children's development and in their own development as leaders within their households. We're joined today on Pacific Days by project lead for the Father's Funeral, Charles Lavere, as well as community engagement lead, Tael Napo. And today we are talking about culture and the importance of culture within our families. Mārō whiwhiu, gentlemen, and great to have you back for another month. We're okay after, you know.
I think we're a little bit loose.
Then. Good. Why don't we start off today with why is culture important in a family? That's a good one to start off with today.
I think culture is really important in a family and a household. Because it, you know, it gives our people a sense of belonging, a sense of purpose, you know, identity and self-worth. And we believe at Levar that culture is directly linked to your well-being. And so we would have seen, you know, what the League boys did in Samoa and MMT Tonga, how it brought together our nation and our countries to be proud of our culture, and it brought that sense of pride. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is really important for our families and our roles as fathers, is we have that power to influence culture and the sort of culture we introduce to our children at home. So yeah, we talk about it a lot in our Father's Funeral as well, just understanding your culture and the power of, you know, knowing and the importance of it.
What is culture? How do each of you define culture? Tayao?
Yeah, culture for me, it really excites me, because we all have a similar story. I mean, I speak for myself. My family migrated from Samoa, so I'm full Samoan. And every time I get into this mahi, every time I sit and I think about what the sacrifices and what they had to go through, and they come to a foreign country, and you know, New Zealand is an awesome country, but they still upheld their culture. I don't know how they did it, but culture is, at Levar, we explain it in a tree analogy. So we have the things that you can see and the things that you can't see. The things that you can see are what we wear, you know, the songs and the bishes, the hymns, what we eat. Yeah. You know, and so we love to, you know.
as Pacifica, we love to eat,
you know, and so and then the things that we can't see are the most important things, and that's what really drives culture, and that's what I feel has sustained culture throughout the generations, even from my parents migrating from Samoa. It's the values that we keep, you know, like the values that we share at Levar is love, respect. Family is a big one. Spirituality, we are spiritual people as well, and so that helps define culture and really sustain it too, and that's nice. What we really do.
It's interesting, you know, like if I think about my own cultural journey, like growing up in the 70s and 80s, my generation, it wasn't so much a thing, you know, knowing your culture. Oh, yeah, you go to church and stuff like that. As you get older, you know, it's like you want to learn more, right? Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, being faced with your own mortality and the things that come into view after many years of, you know, running amok, so to speak. And it's like, man, this stuff is really important. And, of course, wanting to pass that on is part of your legacy to future generations. Yeah. As fathers, how can we teach our children about culture? I like that.
Yeah, and This segues beautifully into what I just explained about we know that our children, they are, you know, we did a session before, and they are like sponges. Whatever we do, whatever we say, they copy everything that we do. And just as we explained with that tree analogy, we are the ones that represent culture. Culture is a collective of your belief, what you stand for. It's what you bring to it, you know. So if you stand for a certain type of culture, it's what you contribute to it. And so at Levar, we do highlight that tree analogy that I mentioned, things that you can see and also the things that you can't see. And we've done that workshop throughout New Zealand, and we've seen some good discussions come out of it.
For me, it's just like simple things. It's like teaching my kids how to do a prayer in Samoan. Mm. It's like, you know, your native, speaking your native tongue, or even just teaching them like the villages that my parents are from back at home. So they know, okay, my family's from Samatau in Samoa. My mum's family's from Waini in Tonga. So them just understanding, having more awareness of where they come from, does teach them about their culture, but also just makes them feel like they belong somewhere, and their identity is that they can identify as being Samoan, Tongan, and being proud of that. I think that's how we can teach our kids. And just the value, like what Tahel said, is the important about the values is the way that we live out those values at home of love, respect, you know, whānau alo and alofa, how do we action them? Because it's easy to tell our kids to do something, but then your actions do something else. They're not going to follow what you say, they're going to follow your actions. And so how we act out those values at home is how we teach our kids about our culture.
Do you find in general with the dads that come through Father's Whānau that culture is a very important part of their lives?
We get a mixture of fathers come through, and so we're when they all walk through, what's really unique about culture is that there's a lot of similarities in values, you know, and love and family, respect. And so even when you walk through the door and you're not from you're not a Samoan or a Tongan, it still resonates within you because we believe the same kind of values, and that's really quite unique.
And I think what T said is, like, when we have different ethnicities, we do have common, like, traits within our cultures. And so even though some, you know, we do this in the Samoan way, and then other fathers would be like, oh yeah, we do that in the Tongan way, and that's another way that we connect as well. So culture brings us all together. I remember running a workshop where the fathers couldn't speak English, and so me having my cultural background, just being able to speak Samoan, I was able to bridge that gap, and we were still able to have conversations that were meaningful, but in our own native tongue. And so it was nice for them to be in New Zealand because they came from Samoa too. So they didn't know how to speak English that well, but they were still able to communicate what the struggles that they were going through, and they were still able to get advice in their own, like in the Samoan language. So culture's a great way for our fathers to connect and to feel seen, heard and seen.
Here's something I was just thinking, just go off the top. When we don't pass on, or we don't teach, you know, culture or cultural values, what happens then? Because I'm thinking, like, okay, everybody has opinions about gangs and that, but when you find that for many that join, and you know, there's sort of anecdotal evidence about, you know, what happened, because well, I didn't feel there was, you know, any culture, you know, or in my own home, that I then found a family that, you know, that actually cared for me, that actually, you know, heard the consequences, you know, with that. But then even in, you know, like when we're not passing on culture and what that leaves or doesn't leave with our, you know, with our children, and what are the, you know, the avenues that they then may travel down without having that type of grounding or foundation.
I can speak to, so like with our work at Atumaya, we believe that culture is a protective factor towards those sort of negative outcomes, so violence. And we're a violence prevention program, so we believe that culture is an integral part to, you know, combating our families and our communities to leading that path. So we want to, you know, highlight and raise awareness of how important it is to nurture your culture side of your well-being, and just like finding out, you know, what culture means to you, because it does. Like I said at the start, it's connected to your well-being, and when they feel like they belong to something, like what you said, their well-being is more, you know, in a positive state.
Nice.
Yeah.
What are some benefits you see in understanding your culture, gentlemen?
Can I name some? Okay.
Yeah. In our workshop, we diversity of thought, being able to speak two or more languages.
Yeah.
You know, we live in Auckland, where when you go to the flea market, when you go to a supermarket, you know, you walk past or you brush past someone and they're speaking your language. You know, it's it's being able to also connect in two worlds, like Charles mentioned, mm-hmm. about being able to translate.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of our family that come from Samoa or the Pacific, they come in and they need someone to translate.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, most of our, I was born here in New Zealand, most of us that are here, even with the little Samoan that you might have, mm-hmm. don't think lightly of that, because you're able to bridge that gap between, yeah. you know, New Zealand and the Pacific,
yeah.
just through that dialogue or language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking too, there are many studies that show people that can speak two or more languages, the benefits that it has in terms of their, what is it, neurons and stuff like that, but just the way that shapes their worldview and how they are able to interact or move between different worlds and different spaces, and the many benefits of that.
Mm. Yeah, of course, and it's also like being able to understand different cultures. Mm. So like, even though our Pasifika, we were raised Pasifika, we know when we go into a marae, the certain traditions and protocols that we do, like we're welcomed onto a marae with our porphyry and then we take off our shoes. People from the other side of the world wouldn't understand those customs, but we as Pasifika, we have those from our experiences, and that's an asset to have. You know, having that understanding means that we can better have connections with other cultures.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's even like, again, going back to the 70s and 80s, but how many of our parents, you know, back then, is like, what good is Samoan? What good is Tongan going to do? It's not going to get you a job. But then fast forward, you know, how many years later, and it's like people seeing the importance of knowing one's culture and how that actually benefits you and you know, wider society. Yeah.
100%.
One of the things, you know, grieves me many times, and I had my grand aunt, she passed away earlier this year, my beloved auntie Evel, my grandmother's youngest sister. But how much of that knowledge, how much of that you know, that treasure of knowing the thing, you know, the whatsamoa, anga nuu, the ngafa and all that stuff is lost to time. You know, and how important it is while we have our mātua as well. You know, because it's not just for our generation, it's across the generations, the importance of our culture, right? Yeah.
And like, some of the conversations that come up in Father's Whanau is like, how do we strengthen, like, for some fathers, you know, they were born in New Zealand, so they don't have, and their parents didn't really speak the native tongue to them as much, and so their questions were like, how do we strengthen that? And it's just spending time around the elders, like what you said, Brian, is that's where that wealth of knowledge is there, is just surrounding yourself with it and just taking little steps to, like, you know, if it's doing another class or just, you know, listening to more Pasifika music, it's taking those little steps to kind of build on in terms of your cultural wealth of knowledge for yourself.
Hey, I like this word, collectivism. Hey, collectivism.
Yeah.
Wow. That takes that's university entrance level we're talking now, guys.
And I think just one last thing, and I can't not say this, but resilience. Resilience for our is a big benefit.
Yeah.
We not only have we done workshops for Father's Whanau, but we see that even in our schools, when they come towards an exam or when they feel like, you know, NCEA is coming up and you know, we are hit with a wall, and then it's not until when we reflect back on where we come from, the resilience that has been held through the generations, whatever the outcome has been, is the question, but the resilience nonetheless is still the same.
Yeah.
And so that, we've seen great impacts and a lot of beautiful stories have come out of that, and resilience is a massive, massive benefit.
I'm just reflecting as you said that, bro. It's like, my dad, he came from Samoa, didn't know how to speak English. He became a taxi driver and he had to teach himself the streets. So he learned every street. And I remember as a kid, the names of the streets. I remember as a kid just watching him flip the map, read it. And that's like, when you say resilience, that's it. He embodied it. And just not that generation that came from, that migrated from the islands, their work ethic is just different, eh? Like their resilience. They didn't have a sick day. They just kind of went to work and because they knew, you know, I have to provide for my family. I have to put that food on the table. So, like, understanding resilience in the Pacifica space is, we see that, I saw that growing up a lot.
Yeah. I haven't had a sit down in about 5 years, so
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
But there's mental health days. Hey, just out of interest, how many, you know, when you're looking at the dads that have taken part, fathers for no atu mai, what's the age range you get usually?
We range from like middle aged fathers, early 20s to, we've had like great grandfathers come. So, yeah, a wide range of fathers, and some of the workshops we've had fathers and their sons come as well, which is quite beautiful, having the different generations in the room, and then sons hearing their fathers say stuff. It's like, you never said this at home, but in that space, it's a safe space, and they felt like they were comfortable enough to share, like, you know, I worked so hard to put food on the table, and the son was like, I never saw it like that, I just saw that you were always at work. And so having those those meaningful conversations with the different range of age range is quite beautiful, eh?
It would be good too, because they come from different perspectives and different generations, and the sort of wonderful taranoas that would take place. If you just tuned in, we're currently in a studio joined by project lead for the Fathers Whānau, Charles Lavea, and community engagement lead Te Ao Napo. And we're talking about the importance of culture in our family. We're going to, you know, dig down into Pacifica values now. And gentlemen, values, how can we live these out as fathers? Pacifica values, how do we live these out as fathers?
Yeah. One big one for me, and Charles mentioned this a few times, is mean what you say and say what you mean. You know, and our words and our actions, they speak loud, you know, and so don't take lightly. My grandfather would often say to me, "O whale a o ngā mea uma." You know, just because we are not in a tertiary or school setting, that we should act any different. At home is where we are to learn respect. At home is where we are to learn how to love. Because if we don't teach those things at home and embody those things at home, someone else is going to teach our children. And culture is one avenue, beautiful avenue, that we've seen through the generations of how we can really connect in that way.
Nice.
Here's one for you. What about when it comes to stuff like whālavelave? What's the sort of discussions you guys have? Because especially, like, you know, for your dads that are married to, like, a non-Pacifica, in their perspective, and it's like, well, hey, that's your auntie, your mum's sister's brother's nephew's thing, and you want to refinance the house? What? Yeah. How do we navigate that space?
For me, I mean, you know, personally, I'm the eldest of our children, and so
responsibility.
It is a big responsibility, because it's almost like I'm bridging the voice of my parents to my siblings, and there are great teachings in us as Pacifica. We know this, that if we don't have it, we will find a way to give it. Even the shirt off my back, I would give. And so fight of lovers and things like that, it's just really channeling your values and where your love is.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, we've also got family to uphold and keep. And, you know, one thing that I say to my sisters is, you know, this has been passed down from generations. For us, we've got to, you know, just be wise and know that we've got, first and foremost, the family to cater to. And if we have the means to support, then for sure. And I know, without a question, we will give.
Yeah.
And so, and that's how we've kept it. And it's really connected the voice of my parents.
Yeah.
But also acknowledged the generation after us, that life here is, you know, we see that life is expensive and increasing, but
I've had conversations with my old lady just around that topic, and just I think it's like you said, is bridging that gap, is having a voice to be able to just help them understand that, like, for me and my mom, it's like, you know, if we don't, yeah, like what's house, if we don't have it, then just know that like we still love and respect and we still want to support in some way or form, shape or form. It may not be monetary at this time, but know that like we will pray for your family or stuff like that. And it's helping my mom understand that, like, you know, don't think so much about what people think about you. Just know that in your heart, like, know in your, like, for yourself, that you love them and that you'll support them. You don't need the kind of validation from other people. It's just to know that, like, you'll always support them. And those are hard conversations to have because, you know, that's just the way that my mom's kind of been raised, and it has to be that way. But I think just having those sort of courageous conversations and allowing them to understand that, yeah, it is harder than the raising it growing up in New Zealand and kind of fending for your family first, and sometimes we might not have that to give. And yeah,
there's different ways to love.
Like
the values that we talk about, love comes in all types of forms. And you know, Charles mentioned spirituality, we mentioned time, we mentioned you know, monetary alofa as well. And so it's really being connected in that way.
How can values be a protective factor against violence? Wow.
That's a big question. And we, out to my, we're a violence prevention program. And we believe that values, Pasifika values in its purest form of, you know, love and respect, is somewhere along the lines, values might have been distorted. And that, you know, discipline and violence can be connected to love. And so our organization, we want to make a stand and say that, you know, there is another way. There are other ways to, you know, raise your children without violence. There are ways, and how we see it is building those genuine relationships with your children in order to have those relationships and then build those trusts so that when you do conversate and whakong with them, or, you know, try and teach them, is that it's not, you're doing it without violence. And we've caught a lot of, like, you know, some of the fathers that come to the group, they're like, nah, I don't believe that. And nah, that's just the way it is. But we believe that, you know, just because it's learned behavior doesn't mean that it always has to be like that. There's other ways that, you know, that we can, if we do act out of our values and it's true intent, and that we say that we love our children, is our actions got to follow that. And some of the conversations that we have is, you know, do you really think, what's going on in your mind when you're using violence to discipline your children? Can you really say that I love you and then go through with that action? And some of the fathers get challenged and they're like, oh, nah, that's just what, it's just an action that we do out of, you know, with, it's just a learned behavior. And so some of those conversations is challenging the thinking, and then it just feels like some of them feel uncomfortable. And that's what we try and do, is we want you to feel uncomfortable so that there's room for growth. And there's no, you can't grow if you're comfortable in what you do. And so with those conversations where we're talking about violence, we're talking about, you can't, you know, if we're talking about love and we're talking about our actions, so stop me if I'm rambling, but yeah, we gotta say that we gotta think about the consequences of our actions too. Is that if I were to discipline my children, do you think that my child would be able to come back to me and share with me how they feel if they've done something wrong? And so we never talk about that. You know, growing up, we never talk about how the outcome or how the child felt.
The impact.
Yeah, the impact. And so the impact of using violence is that our children don't want to come to us when they've done something wrong, because they know the consequences of doing something wrong is they're going to see some violence. And so having those conversations, raising that awareness of your children, you know, us as fathers, we want our children to come to us when they're struggling with something or when they've done something wrong. But if we've acted and we've disciplined our children in that way, is we're actually creating a vow. We're actually putting up this wall to say, this is what you get if you do something wrong. And that's going to create fear in our children. And our children don't want to come to us. And, you know, when they become teenagers and they're going through the struggles of life, I don't want to go to dad. I don't want to go to mom because I'm going to get a hiding. Or I'm going to see violence. And so us, our ngaluenga is being able to highlight there are other ways, other outcomes of, you know, teaching our children about boundaries. It's journeying with them. It's going through this and seeing, and then getting their buy-in to be like, okay, that's the consequences that I get if, and so they understand the consequences, not us trying to just enforce it and expect them to fall in line, expect them, like, and another conversation just off the top of my head, sometimes we think that our children, just like, say if our children are like 3, 4, 5 years old, we already expect them to behave, we already expect them to know what respect is, but they're still developing their brain, and I'm not saying out, but like some parents just go straight to violence to try and get them in line, but their cognitive brain hasn't really understood how to show respect, how to behave, and so that's really on us as fathers to nurture them, to guide them through, and use our conversations, use our actions to show them that we love them, that we want to teach them, instead of using violence to teach them and to discipline them. Did you want to add something?
It was funny because when I came to Levar and I went to one of the Fathers Funnel workshops, I went home, and so I applied it to my children. Like, I'm always a talker to, I've got 4 kids, and there is a difference. There is a difference when you talk to them. Charles mentioned something similar as comprehension. Our children, they know what they know, and it's only, you know, it depends on their age, you know. And so if I sit down and I conversate with my child and say, hey, you know what you did was wrong, you'll see that there's an opportunity for them to respond. But if I close off the conversation and I go to some means of violence, you see that there's no response. They are frowning, they're not responding, and they hide away, they go into fear. And so for us as fathers, and I really want to encourage fathers out there, look for those responses. When you talk to your child, you know, how do they respond to you? Do they respond in a way that you know, and that's why it's important for us to have those values of love and respect, because when we talk a certain type of way to our spouses, our families, they pick up on that. They're like, oh, dad respects mom, so I'll talk in a respectful way. So when you go to discipline them, they will respect you because they see it's what you've learnt at home. And so just look for those moments of when there's a time of discipline in that area or at home. Have a look and be like, okay, am I going to talk, and see how they respond. I think you'll be quite surprised that when you talk to your child, engage with them, understanding that their comprehension hasn't developed as much as ours, you'd have a funny conversation with them and be like, oh, so I didn't realise that. So yeah,
it's being brave as dad to have those, not only those hard conversations, but to really take a deep look within yourself. You know, it's interesting we have this Talanoa today, because yesterday in my family we had a whānau, something which has sort of been brewing. It's going on about a year now, and the way that we came, you know, from a 16-year-old up to a 30-year-old across generations, but we were all able to sit together, you know, myself, my wife, and you know, the kids, and then to talk about stuff and misunderstandings that were put right, or you know, the being able to express in a safe safe area or a safe, you know, environment how, you know, you felt in there, and then just to feel that you know, man, like a weight that had been lifted. And then I think, you know, these are the sort of conversations that can save lives.
Cause, 100%.
You know, when you hear one of your kids, you know, they say, oh, a lot of times I don't feel heard and I don't feel seen. And it's like, what? But then again, it comes back to you as the head of the home, You know, that it's your responsibility, you know, not only to put food on the table and a roof over the head, but also for the, you know, the well-being of everyone under the roof. And of course, you know, not a lot of times the maybe dysfunction or that which is happening can be traced back to yourself. And you know, with myself, it's like, and a number of times over the years, okay, da 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 da, this and this happened, and you know, but hey, it happens to a lot of people.
Yeah. Mm.
How long can you continue to allow it to cloud the rest of your life, something that happened maybe, you know, 20, 30 plus years ago, you know?
Yeah.
But navigating and working that way through for the you know, for the well being of your family moving forward, eh?
Yeah,
it's important, the power of Talanoa. Yeah. Gentlemen, final thoughts, encouragement today for our dads tuning in?
Yeah, I'll go first. Just to be proud of your culture, eh? And we as fathers have the power to influence what culture looks like in our home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can take, you know, say from generations that we've, all the experiences that we've kind of gone through, we can take the good things out of that. And if it has been a negative, we can leave that out and bring the positives into our household and teach our children the positives about our culture and what we as fathers have kind of experienced in that culture. And then just, yeah, kind of acting out of your values is having those conversations that might be tough. You know, not sweeping things under the rug and just expecting everyone to just get over it over time is having those difficult conversations, because that's where the understanding comes from and everyone can kind of feel at ease. Like what you said, Brian, is that weight comes off, because it only starts with having a conversation, and it might be tough at first, but it's just like anything in life. Like, it takes practice and doing it, you know, once a month or twice. You know, it gets easier over time. So the more conversations you have at home, the better well-being for your family.
Yeah. For me, there's no destination to being a father. Yeah. Every single day you want to be better.
Yeah.
You want to be better than not the person next to you, but be better than yourself.
Yeah.
You mentioned about reflecting on moments in life. And when you reflect, we become wiser as the generations roll on. And so, you know, I really just... wanna afi and just continue to put love out there for our fathers, who continue to push and do the mahi.
Nice.
You know, the power of Talanoa with between your spouses, but also more importantly, between your children is where you have those beautiful conversations. So talk and continue to love on your children.
Yeah.
Raise up a child in the way that they should go, that when they grow old they will not depart from it. Indeed. Come on. A very big thank you, as always, Project Lead for the Fathers Whānau, Charles Lavea, and Community Engagement Lead Te Ao Napo, for another month. God bless and keep up the amazing work, gentlemen.